Justin Wayne.
You're not the way, and God has heard it.
Called Rain Broke Better. You can find them on MySpace, myspace.com/RainBrokeBetter, REIGN, which is very interesting. It's a very timely band name, I think. We saw them when we went to try and see Fake Teak, and we were late, which bummed me out and bummed out Andrew Wilde as well. He was sad that we missed them. But we did turn up and saw them at saw Rain Broke right at the end. Thought they were fantastic. Got tunes from them, and seems like we should probably play some Fake Teak here in a minute as well. But it is now time for this.
You're a disgrace. Think you're supporting live music sitting at home alone? The Recharge Radio Gig Guide.
Provided by tourdates.co.uk.
Right, we do have a couple of very important dates to share with you, especially if you're in and around the London area. Tomorrow night, Thursday evening, the 11th of November, happens to be the culmination of the M4 tour, which is being led by the Exposure Music Awards and Live and Unsigned. The two winners from both of those contests, Underline the Sky, Void, and Goodness, are playing. So the big sort of end of the M4 tour for them. We've talked about it earlier, but there it is again. Make sure you do check out and get down to that. Also here on our tour dates gig guide. Moving on to Friday night, we have some more gigs for you as well. If you're looking for something to do this weekend on a Friday, let's see. The Furbelows are playing at the Victoria in Hackney, or in Dalston, either way. The Mangle Wurzels are playing at the Farmhouse Inn in Southwark in Trowbridge. The J45s are playing at the William Blake here in Islington. And Volkerstein is at the Purple Turtle in Reading. If you're looking for something to do on Saturday evening, you have a couple of options as well as far as independent music is concerned. Freddie Dixon is at the Deaf Institute in Manchester. Who else? The Hollywood Bees are at the Lochside Theater in Castle Douglas. And Mean Popoline, one of my favorite band names to say, is at the Nation of Shopkeepers in Leeds. Do stick around. We do have Janet Hansen from Brio PR and Scout 66 coming up. We're going to speak to her in a little bit. Right now, we're going to play another tune for you. This particular tune is, brilliant. As we were saying before, we got to play some Fake Teak because we missed them. And this song is, it was the first song that I fell in love with. It's made me fall in love with Fake Teak. It's a fantastic track. If you've got the bass on, make sure you turn up the bass. This is Solid State. Once again, Fake Teak on the Justin Wayne Show here at Recharge Radio.
Waking up in the morning, looking under the covers that protect the electronics from the gaze of the others. With my Phillips head screwdriver to look inside the answers. Why the men who make music are so seldom the dancers. I was always so curious, taking plastic housings off the copper trace and solder, looking inside the magical. You said I was too metal, too and icily logical, and the cap was first lost to me in a fit of curiosity. I saw you in a dream, through the clear plastic partition of a maze all around us, while the danger surrounds us, sinking deeper and deeper, in the world of the sleeper, waking up in the morning, looking under the covers, taking plastic housings, off with Phillips and screwdrivers, blue and icily logical, to see inside the magical, finding you in the mazes, of the copper trace and solder, and a cap was returned to me by veterinary surgery.
Music needs to be driven, not controlled. Recharged Radio. We'll be right back.
Tune for you. Actually, it's a brand new track from our friends over at the Ivory Tower Project. That is Guilty, You're the One. Fantastic track. Just that some reason that 80s sound gets me from that band. Sometimes it sounds cheesy. I don't know. I like that one. I do. I'm sure you do as well. Once again, that's Ivory Tower Project right there. And we're building a database on the JustinWayneShow.com website of every single artist we've ever played. Links to their websites. So because it is in the Association of Music Podcasting, it is essential for podcasts to put every artist link on in the show notes. And one of the things that I have had a really difficult time in the last couple of months with keeping up with the podcasting, especially with 2 hours worth of music, is putting every link to every artist into those show notes. So what I'm doing now is creating a database where I can just update each time with the new bands. And if you head over to justinwayneshow.com/artists, it's probably not finished quite yet, but we're getting there. And certainly if you're an artist that's been played on the show and your link isn't correct, I've done everything I can to make sure that these links are correct and current, because I don't want to give people the wrong links to the wrong bands or anything. But if some reason you go on there, you find your band name and the link is wrong, or the link isn't on there yet, send me an email. It's justin@rechargeradio.com. Just drop me an email and let me know what's going down, and I will sort it out for you immediately, because that's one of the crucial things, not only with the Association of Music Podcasting, but just with myself. I mean, that's one of the reasons we're out here, is to promote independent music and to make sure that you get to where you want to go if you're looking for them and want to buy their music or whatever you want to do to support those bands. So one of the reasons we do the tour dates, all the gigs, the gig guide. And one of the reasons as well is we do the Musicians Clinic, which I was going to mention earlier. We'll mention it right now. The Musicians Clinic is held once a month here in London, if you're anywhere around London and want to have your demos played for industry people. We've got PR people, we've got managers, we've got record label A&R people, former and current, as well as radio people. Of course, I'm there to talk about your demos and things like this. It's a very, very good forum. Head over to tourdates.co.uk. On the far right side is Musicians Clinic. Click on there and sign up, and you'll hear from me, because I'm the one that is comparing it or chairing it or whatever you'd say. But that's it's been really really good information for me as a broadcaster, and it's fantastic information for anyone that wants more information, more feedback on their demos, and just more, you know, learn something about where you can go, what you can do, and where you're at in the process. So fantastic stuff. We're nearly to that interview with Janet, and we're going to play a song, as Janet is from the Seattle area. We're going to play a song from one of our favorite Seattle artists. This is, of course, Trevor Larkin off his upcoming release, which I don't think is titled yet, actually. This is Poetry and Poltergeists here on the Justin Wayne Show on Recharge Radio.
Well, youth is just a playground where the idealistic play. Where I made mistakes that got me where I am today. I learned how to treat a lady there and how to make a friend. Inflicted on me wounds that even time could never mend. Well, I am just a traveler and a solitary man. I don't wanna be a burden to you now. I don't wanna be a burden to you now. Well, I'm no fine wine, I'm rotted meat and soured milk. I dreamt in burlap when I should have dreamt in silk. The hatred of the memory fuels the fire in the fight. It's all I have now in the twilight of my life. Well, I am just a traveler and a solitary man. I don't wanna be a burden to you now. I don't wanna be a burden to you. Though now I'm old, I was turned blind when I was young. Was taught to stand up tall, was blinded by the sun. Now every friend I have's a ghost who's gone away. And the poetry and the poltergeist, the only game I play. What could you do? What could you say? Yeah, too hopelessly naive to see. We all just wait around till our dying day. Till our dying day. Hey, and hope is an expense I can't afford to pay. Yeah, I look down at my watch, it's just ticking time till my dying day. Don't you write a song and within it say, yeah, there's hope and love and peace, but you're just really wasting time till your dying day, till your dying day, till your dying day, till your dying day, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, this is just a song sung by a tired man who's been broken by the rhythm of the second hand. But a friend in need is so transparent in his word. The seed as I've been cursed from now back till my day of birth. Well, I am just a traveler and a solitary man. I don't wanna be a burden to you now. I don't wanna be a burden to you now. Though now I'm old, I was turned blind when I was young. Was taught to stand up tall, was blinded by the sun. Now every friend I have's a ghost who's gone away. And the poetry and the poltergeist, the only game I play. Though now I'm old, I was turned blind when I was young. Was taught to stand up tall, was blinded by the sun. Now every friend I have's a ghost who's gone away. And the poetry and the poltergeist, the only game I play.
Well, as promised, on the phone with us now, from Brio Public Relations and Scout66.com, we have Janet Hansen, all the way over just south of Seattle. How are you, Janet?
I'm great, thank you.
How is the Seattle or the South Seattle weather these today?
It's fairly wet out there, a little bit windy, and typical Seattle fall weather, I would say.
Sure. and you were saying that that it was sort of like Liverpool. You were saying that where you're at right now.
Yes, I've been told that looking out over Commencement Bay is very similar to looking out over the water in Liverpool. And this comes from a journalist who was visiting one of my clients, the Fabulous Whalers, mm-hmm. and they were talking about the inspiration for music that comes out of the Northwest. Nobody can quite put their finger on, you know, the different eras of music that come, and the journalist was looking out over the water, and he said, well, I can tell right now that the inspiration for the Whalers and the Beatles is very much the same, looking out over Commencement Bay.
Interesting.
So, yeah. And it is interesting, too, that the Fabulous Whalers have the most recorded rock song in history, Louie Louie, mm-hmm. and it surpassed Paul McCartney's Yesterday. So those two parallels, you know, go quite a ways in describing the history of those two particular legends, if you will.
Yeah. Well, we should give your credentials. That is actually one of your credentials. But you've been in the music industry for almost 27 years now. You've done PR for, like you said, the Fabulous Whalers and Louie Louie, which was Classical Gas by Mason Williams, the most broadcasted instrumental in history. And you've been part of three Grammy-winning campaigns, PR campaigns, which is really exciting. Do you want to? What was it like working with those two groups, or maybe you still do work with them?
Actually, I do. I don't work with Mason Williams as often as I used to. That's how I started in music. He and I happened to be from the same hometown. So I started as his assistant and worked with him for 4 years, I believe. And then through the years, off and on, I've worked on different projects that have come up for him. And then working with the Fabulous Whalers, I started working with them in 2004. And right now we're working on a book about their history, which is about 51 years now.
Wow.
A lot of history. Yeah. There's only one other group that's been together that long, and they're from the Northwest as well, the Ventures. They both started out at the same time and have been together 51 years now.
Okay.
So we're working on a book and a documentary for the Whalers, and hoping around the first of the year something comes to fruition with that.
All right. That's always a good, sort of a good gap in album releases, that January time to sneak things in there like that, I think.
Yeah. We've been working on these projects for about 6 months now, and 51 years is a lot. You know, it's a lot of information. And so just, you know, pulling all the different details together and, you know, finding a publisher and a writer and all of those things takes a good deal of effort. But we're working on it. We're making progress. So
cool.
That's a good thing.
Well, you've been in the music industry now for almost 27 years. You're saying 27 years in December, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So how have the challenges changed over, especially over the last like 5 or 10 years? Now that we've seen now that EMI might be breaking up, and there's been huge challenges in the last like 5 or 6 years. But what have been the big changes, and how, I don't know, what have you seen that's been significant?
Well, let's see. First of all, I have never worked with a major record label.
Okay.
And I've always worked with independent artists. When I started working with Mason Williams, he had his own record label back then. And just as a side note, the Venezuelans have the first artist-owned independent label in history.
Oh, really?
And it was formed in 1961.
Wow.
And most people don't realize indie music goes back that far.
Okay.
So I would say that the challenges are very much the same now as they were, you know, when I started working in music. Working with Mason, it was a little bit easier because he was already a known entity. He had name recognition, and, you know, it was just easier. Like, my very first assignment was to get a review in Billboard for the most obscure recording you've probably ever heard, and boom, just like that, it happened.
Huh.
You know, it was pretty exciting. So the challenges now are that Live Nation and Ticketmaster hold a huge monopoly, which they kind of always have been a monopoly, but not as partners like they are now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that presents a bit of a problem out there, because most indie artists, you know, their ultimate goal really is to work with a record label and get on some of those Live Nation tours.
Right.
But it's a bit political, very much political. I think it's a mistake for many artists to go that direction if they aren't well established in the music community.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't bode well for them. But I think also that because music started to sort of implode, if you will, about 10 years ago, actually right after 9/11.
Interesting.
That was a major turning point. Historically in music, any kind of entertainment, actually, historically, if we're at war, we are not to participate in those kind of activities, you know, in support of our troops and whatnot. But anyway, right after 9/11, things started going downhill in music, and then 2 years ago, it was quite obvious that media was not doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has made it even more challenging for indie artists in particular to get recognition for the projects that they're doing.
Sure. What kind of recognition are you sort of talking about? Are you talking about recognition by the major labels and like getting on one of these Live Nation tours, or are you just talking about building fans and actually making a living?
Marketing the products. So people are aware, you know, that maybe, for instance, the Fabulous Wailers do have a fairly new project. They've always got a new project going, but getting the word out about that is more challenging than it's ever been.
That's right.
And for indie artists, that can be significant because they really have to, see a return on their investment somehow.
Right, because I suppose they're scrimping and saving together and working their odd jobs, and so then they come to you and they say, okay, get us on Billboard, or get us in NME or whatever, and you're
yes.
Sort of, and then you have quite a task. Then you're saying it's tough.
Yes, it's very difficult, and most indie artists are out there touring. That's where most of their money is made,
right.
Not necessarily from the gig itself, but most of their product. I would say 85% of product for indie artists is sold from the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's just this vicious cycle. If there's not enough support in the media to let people know, you know, they might be coming to Seattle or, you know, anywhere in the United States, then the domino effect occurs. People don't show up to shows because they don't know about them, and then the product can't be sold because people aren't there. It just goes on and on.
Right.
So it's a very challenging time.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting now that you say that. What would you say is a good sort of starting point then? Because it is sort of like you say, it is a circle of things that need to happen, sort of all rolling in on itself and sort of all uh-huh. supporting itself. But where's the sort of first place that an indie artist should start then, would you say, as far as starting that wheel of good fortune or whatever you want to call it?
Yeah, well, this sounds like a cliche, and I'm sorry, but the very starting point is with excellent music.
Right.
If the songwriting and the execution of the music live and in the recorded form, if those are exceptional, then, you know, the challenges lessen.
Sure.
But we're in this age where we are way oversaturated with music, and people just don't feel like the quality is essential to their career, but it truly, truly is.
Hmm.
That's where it all starts. Okay. If you've got good music, the rest of it will come easy because everybody will recognize the quality.
Sure. Well, before we talk about Scout 66, I have one more question for you about indie artists. Personally, I mean, would you rather work with a group or an indie artist band or whatever that was just focused on their music and sort of handing off the business and PR stuff to you? Or would you rather work with an indie artist that was much more business-minded and marketing-minded?
Actually, a combination of both would be great.
That's a good answer.
Frequently, I run across people, and this is not a criticism at all, but for the most part, it's very difficult for indie artists to wear every single hat that they're required, you know, to wear to even be moderately successful.
Sure.
And so if they come to me with some understanding of, you know, what the challenges are, what things need to be done, that makes it much easier for everyone. But often I find that a big part of my job is educating people
mm-hmm.
on what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. I would much prefer that anyone thinking about developing a new product or project talk to a marketing person before they go into the studio.
Hmm.
And that way the marketing can be developed as the project develops. Any inconsistencies in the plan, you know, like if they planned to put out 10 songs and they thought one song was going to be the hit and it didn't turn out that way, then you can make adjustments along the way.
Sure.
And develop the marketing as the project develops. The money comes much easier that way. Most people don't follow the rule of thumb. If you're going to a project, you should plan to spend at least as much on marketing as you do on the entire recording.
Mm.
But that very rarely happens.
Right.
Which is a downfall.
Well, that I think right there is a fantastic piece of it. Oh, sorry. You can finish if you want.
Oh, no. I wish more people would take that into consideration because marketing does cost money. And you know, there's just no way around it.
That's true. I think that's a fantastic piece of advice. I really hope that we do have a lot of independent artists that listen to the show, and I really hope that they take that on board, because it's crucial these days, isn't it? It's just marketing yourself is crucial.
Yeah, and a lot of people think that spending maybe $3,000 to $5,000 on a recording is adequate, and actually about $2,000 a song is adequate. Working, you know, with studio professionals, engineers, even a producer, studio musicians, blah blah blah, you know, about $2,000 per song is middle of the road. Of course, other people go above that, many much below it, but if you've got 10 songs on a CD, then you've got $10,000 at least invested in a recording, and $10,000 for marketing is not out of the question.
Sure. Well, very interesting. Very interesting stuff. Well, should we talk about Scout 66? Should we shift gears a little bit, because this is sort of your other project? It looks like, if my notes are right, you started this in 2009, so it's still young, but certainly gaining momentum.
Yes. When I realized that media was not going to be the powerhouse that it was in music, one of the things that I realized was truly missing in this whole cycle of what's going on. As I already said, you know, most musicians make most of their money from live performance.
Right.
Well, to promote live performance, people are used to the preview of the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
To let people know that a show is going to happen. Well, if you have worked very, very hard to get every person possible to a performance, what every person who attends the performance thinks about what happened in that room is very important, because they are influencers and they will propel the career forward, right?
Right.
And we used to rely on journalists to review live shows, and at least 10 years ago, that stopped happening as much as it once did. Big shows are reviewed, but not for the working class musician. So the idea is to archive as much content about live performance as possible, and therefore if an artist in Seattle, for example, wants to go to Austin, Texas, or San Diego, or somewhere else, the venues that they want to perform in, just look at Scout and see what people have to say. You know, in a certain market, did that show go over well, whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Then they have a backup. If I'm going to book a show, I am risking not only money, but my reputation by bringing in a band, right? And so having some backup information from the people who pay to see the shows is vitally important in this whole process. And so we developed Scout, and it took a long time. Oh, goodness. Websites are like the new construction, you know?
It's true.
Oh, you're building a house. It's going to be ready in June. Oh, it's not going to be ready till maybe December. Oh. Well, anyway, we went through all of that, and we followed the model that other industry standards follow, like MySpace, Reverb Nation, where an artist is responsible for putting all their information, including all their tour dates, you know, the photos, the bios, everything. Well, after about 9 months, we realized that that model really doesn't work as well as it should, and so we flipped the model. And as far as I know, we're the only platform out there that has flipped the model, where it is the fan or the arts patron that goes to the site to review the show, and the artist is on the receiving end, but they don't have to maintain all the information all the time.
Sure.
So when we flip, it's been just a little over 2 months since we flipped it, and the traffic to the site is up over 300%.
Wow.
And we have more than quadrupled the number of reviews on the site in just 2 months. So flipping the model was, a godsend.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like, I mean, especially for those independent artists, they have so much other things to do, like you were saying. You know, they have so many hats to wear. At some point, it's like, how many websites can I keep current and keep updating? Even with those sort of those other tools that are out there online that to help them, you know, update more than one site at once, it's still a lot. And I think that, like you say, flipping that model is a great idea, and it sounds like it's really been successful for you guys.
Yeah, it has. It's been amazing. So what we need to do is keep educating people that we have flipped the model, and that all you have to do if you go see a live show is go to our site, which is easy to remember, scout66.com, and just start typing. Mm. That's all you have to do. It's pretty amazing. The content is developing nicely, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah, and you've got some really interesting people on there as well. Some great independent reviews, and you've got we saw Joe Hauer, the rock and roll guru, on there as well, which is a cool.
He included his review of Bob Dylan. And then we have a guy from London, actually, Judd. I don't know Judd's last name. Judd4169. His website is the4169.
Right.
Anyway, he went to a Van Morrison show not too long ago. And we included that review, which was really interesting. So, yeah, we're getting people from all over. We have a photo review from Geneva, Switzerland. The one from Judd in London. And then we got a review from a live stream concert from Australia.
Oh, wow.
So far, we are more than happy to welcome reviews from anywhere in the world.
Okay.
As long, and this sounds terrible, but we're an English-speaking country, and so it kind of has to be in English.
Sure.
You know? So, anyway, that's kind of the only criteria we have for that. But we do welcome reviews from anywhere in any style of music. It doesn't have to be just within the rock genre. So far, that's pretty much what we've received.
Okay.
But
it sounds like a great way for fans to support their bands and also sort of, you know, get noticed, and budding music journalists and music journalists that are out there, I suppose, that do post blog content. They can sort of do sort of accept like reposts or things like that as well.
Yeah, it's pretty clear that a lot of younger people in particular who might have degrees in journalism or PR, even marketing, it's very clear that a lot of them would love to be included in the music industry, but, you know, it's quite closed mm-hmm. at the moment. And so if they want to build a portfolio, yeah, contributing to the archive of Scout is a great way to do that. The information will never go away. It's not hard to find. So it's a very cool concept for anyone who wants to build a career that way.
Yeah. And then you've got
photojournalism too.
Yeah, there's some great photos on that site already as well, which is cool.
Yeah, yeah. Excuse me.
I was going to say, yeah. You've got a little bank of in the freelance copywriters as well. If you ever need extra help with your PR company too, I suppose.
That would work. That would be awesome. I hadn't thought about it that way, but yeah, great. It's a really interesting time to be here, and developing these kind of things. If somebody had told me 10 years ago, oh, you can have your own music platform out there, I would have thought they were crazy, but it turned out that way, so...
When you seem like a great person to launch something like this, it's exciting that you're, well, you're sort of giving back to the music community, I suppose, aren't you? Creating an outlet for live music reviews, which is fantastic. So, great stuff.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Sorry. Go ahead. Am I cutting you off again?
Oh no, not at all. Pardon me. There's something in my throat all of a sudden. Go ahead.
I was going to wrap everything up and just say thanks very much for Janet for coming on the show, and really great to get your advice and your 27 years worth of experience on the show. I really appreciate that.
Oh well, no problem. Anything I can do to help, like I was going to say, pardon me. Artists have always been the focus of my career, and so working with them and helping in any way I can is vital, to everyone's success, including my own. So, I'm happy to help.
Great. Well, yeah. We'll have to check back in with you in a few months and see how Scout 66 is going. And we do some reviews and stuff on my website as well. Maybe we'll have to bounce some of those your direction, and I think I'd be very interested in contributing to Scout 66 myself, as I do go to quite a few gigs here in London, independent music and stuff like that.
Oh, we'd love to have you, please, anytime.
Okay.
The more, the merrier.
Great.
Well, all right.
Well, thanks again, Janet, for being on the show. I've selected a Seattle band. That's one of our favorites on the show here, which you may have to... Have you heard of Skeletons with Flesh on Them before? They've been around for a couple of years now, I think.
Not that I'm aware of, but that doesn't surprise me.
Sort of,
because there are quite a few out there.
It is. Seattle is a huge scene. It was one of the... When I first started doing the show almost 3 years ago now, that was one of the places that music just jumped out at me. I think, like you say, one of the things that they were saying to me was that Seattle is a great place to play, but sometimes you can sort of get lost, especially with the media, like you were saying. So great to, I'm glad that you're supporting that scene as well. That's fantastic.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate this opportunity.
Yeah.
So
we'll speak to you again very soon.
Thanks, Justin.
And this is once again, it's a band called Skeletons with Flesh on Them, and this song is called The Factory Song.
Your chest is a cage for a height. Leave it open and watch it sinks out. In your chest is a cage for a height. Leave it open and watch it sinks out. Mine are left open but not cracked in the wind. Mine are left open but nothing cracked out. Nothing cracked out but good old reliable doubt. If you're quiet, you'll hear tiny sounds. Tiny levers going up and down. If you're quiet, you'll hear tiny sounds. Tiny levers going up and down.
Down, 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 down. The whole thing with the factory is never wanna go inside a factory. The products you put on your shelves, all you need to know. Take a meal.
size bed, an open window, and a sizable ledge. In your head is a queen size bed, an open window, and a sizable ledge. Well, my mind I left open enough and crept in with the wind. Mine left open, but nothing crept out. Nothing crept out but good old reliable doubt. If you're quiet, you'll hear tiny sounds. Tiny levers going up and down. If you're quiet, you'll hear tiny sounds. Tiny levers going up and down.
Down, 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 down.
The whole thing with the factory is never wanna go inside a factory. Parts you put on your shelves are all you need to know. Whoa, whoa, the whole thing with the factory is never wanna go inside a factory. Parts you put on your shelves are all you need to know. They're all you need to know.
Once again, Skeletons with Flesh on Them, and once again, big thank you to Janet Hansen of Brio PR, and of course, Scout66.com. You want to be a member of the music journalist community. If you've seen a good gig, if you're any good at writing at all, I'm sure you have to be good. There is a submission process, of course. Head over to Scout66.com and join that cool little musical revolution over there, music media revolution, if you will. Big thanks to Janet, of course, as well. And yes, if you haven't caught on already, this was a pre-recorded show. Sorry, guys. You podcast people don't care, but sometimes the broadcast people do. So big thanks to Jordan for pushing play this evening. I am out looking at master's programs, so I'll talk more about that soon if you want. If you're interested, do email me. We've talked about a couple things that could have some feedback today. It is justin@rechargeradio.com is where you'd get in touch with me, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks very much. And right up next, of course, is Rodrigo de Sá of the Island Music Show, and always a fantastic show. So do stick around for that. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks very much. Bye bye.
Independent radio for independent music. It's the Justin Wayne Show.
Get in touch. studio@rechargedradio.com. The best new independent music.